Hey, this is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, and you're listening to Around the Table.
To discover the fine art of tacos, you have to taste the fine art of tacos. At Boca Tacos and Tequila, Chef Maria Maison paints with a palette of flavors. Every color represents a different flavor, a different heat. This is real Mexican food. This is the food that Chef Maria Maison grew up eating and the food she dreams of sharing with you. Boca Tacos and Tequila serves gourmet Mexican tacos and fresh original salsas located at 533 North 4th Avenue in Tucson's historic shopping district. Penka Restaurant is very proud to announce the arrival of Executive Chef David Solarzano, whose bright, vibrant cuisine is true to both his roots in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, and his world-class culinary training at Le Cordon Bleu. His exciting new original menus feature succulent Arctic char, grilled octopus, and a beautiful salad verde. Happy hour daily from 3 to 5 p.m. Join us for power lunch at Penka every day. Penka is located at number 50 Broadway in downtown Tucson.
This is Bruce Thurston of FineWoodSpoons.com. Everything you cook with one of my spoons will taste better. Jennifer English is making Tucson taste better. Don't miss Around the Table on KVOI, the voice.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
Ken, what makes your barbecue so delicious?
Well, I don't want to have to kill you, but no. No, well, you know, we keep those secrets pretty close to the vest, but we just put whore love into our barbecue sauce, our brisket, our rubs.
Ken, those green beans that you have are so yummy. Whose recipe is that?
We call them Grandma Wilma's green beans, but really those are my mom's recipe, and she pours mom's love into those green beans.
A Spanish proverb, con pan y vino, se anda el camino, means with good food and wine, life is never too hard. Discover the world's most delicious and exciting wines for yourself by the glass at Revel, a European-styled bar conveniently located downtown on 9th Street. Cultivate conviviality every Wednesday at our complimentary wine tasting events from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Revel, a space for those who wish to celebrate life and toast with friends, old and new. Cheers. One of the most irresistible places in town is Gus Ballon's, where you will be delighted and happy to be called a regular. Nothing's better than walking in and having them call your name and say, welcome back. What'll you have? Or better yet, they already know. But their pies and fried chicken are absolutely positively irresistible. And Jane and Michael Stern of the famous Road Food books declare that theirs is one of the best breakfasts in America in their cinnamon bun. Well, try and find better. They're located at 6027 East 22nd in Tucson, Arizona.
This is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, live at the Bear Canyon Farmers Market, benefiting the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank. And we are so excited because we are less than 45 days away from Christmas and the holidays. Yeah, that's right. How many days until Thanksgiving? Are you ready? What are you serving? We've got help on the way. If you're ready to cook big, we've got assistance from our good friend Ken. Alexander from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, who is going to be joining us and give us some tips a little later on in the show. We're going to be talking to our good friend and news sponsor, Chiltepica. Our friend Gloria Badia has the Rolls Royce of Chiltepines. Chiltepines are one of the stories that's making a big splash. Spices, comfort foods, cooking, food gifts, gourmet gifts. People are wanting experiences, flavors, and essentials this holiday season. This isn't the year for the Neiman Marcus outrageous catalog. In the Marie Kondo style of minimalizing everything and getting back to basics and the core essentials, well, we're here to help as well. When you're cooking for your family and your friends and you want those flavors to be extraordinary, delicious, from the heart, and irresistible, we've got ways to help you do all of those things. And if you're not somebody who cooks big on a regular basis, we've got tips about Thanksgiving, and we've got friends who are willing to help. Not only willing, they would love to help. Ken's Hardwood Barbecue is smoking whole turkeys. And one of the tips we'll share is, depending on the number of people that you're serving for Thanksgiving, well, you might need more than one giant bird, which is really hard. When we talk about cooking big, we're not talking about cooking a prehistoric dinosaur of a turkey, like an 18, 20, 24, 26-pound turkey. No, if you're going to have to cook for that many people, I would say, and regularly have for years, do yourself a favor and do two smaller birds. You get twice the drumsticks, twice the wings, and literally twice the white meat and dark meat. When you're doing that this year, if you're going to be cooking your regular Thanksgiving feast, what about making your second bird a smoked turkey from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue? That's what I'm going to be doing, and it's delicious. He's got an array of extraordinary side dishes we'll talk about as well. A little later on, we're going to take you to the movies with our movie professor. We go to film school later on with Alan Williams, and one of our good friends is calling in today to talk about a brand new cookbook that is really intriguing, and I predict you will see Lateral Cooking from Nikki Segnet, who's going to be with us in just a few minutes, come awards time, both the IACP and the James Beard Award. We want to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Les Rendezvous. It's a French restaurant and bistro, a really classic French bistro at Fort Lowell and Alvernon. It's been there since 1980. And I don't think there is anywhere in town that serves up ooh la la like they do at Le Rendezvous. Tell me where you'd go to get a more extraordinary steak frites or a French onion soup gratiné with molten gorgeous Gruyere cheese. A Niçoise salad topped with a crispy skinned gorgeous piece of salmon. Or one of my all-time favorites, the bouillabaisse. They do a brie en croûte, and they do small plates. If you haven't been for lunch lately, Monday through Friday, you've been missing out. But one of the all-time favorite things that has been making fans go back to Le Rendezvous for years are the desserts, especially the soufflés. When was the last time you had a Grand Marnier soufflé? I had one recently, and I can tell you, there's a reason why classic cuisine, especially French cuisine, is classic cuisine. It's so delicious and influential. We may not eat like that all the time, but everything we do eat has its classic cuisine roots in this remarkable food. The legend of Escoffier is alive and well. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to go switch over to our gear here at the Bear Canyon Farmers Market. We're on Catalina Highway in Bear Canyon, just in the Safeway Shopping Center, right outside of Lindy's. Lindy's on the east side of town. And if you haven't been here, 8995 Catalina Highway, you're going to be so happy to come and visit us. There's an array of extraordinary vendors with crafts, handmade, beautiful honey, locally produced honey. There are so many wonderful gift ideas for the holidays. This is as wonderful a farmer's market as I've seen since we were all together last season. Come down and visit us. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. Come down and see me, and I will give you a free cinnamon water. We've got the Old Pueblo Spice Company. Green Goo from Buck Garrett is here. And the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank is producing this event with all the proceeds from their donations going to feed the animals. It's a terrific event. It's a great group of people. Come down and visit us. We'll be back with more right after this, live from the Bear Canyon Craft and Farmers Market. We'll be right back.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
Ken, what makes your barbecue so delicious?
Well, I don't want to have to kill you, but no. No, well, you know, we keep those secrets pretty close to the vest, but we just put whore love into our barbecue sauce, our brisket, our rubs.
Ken, those green beans that you have are so yummy. Whose recipe is that?
We call them Grandma Wilma's green beans, but really those are my mom's recipe, and she pours mom's love into those green beans.
Ho'oponopono. Love, peace, all gifts from God. Aloha, nui nui, humehana.
This is Michelle with Brightway Wellness, bringing you Ho'oponopono from Hawaii. Love, peace, forgiveness, and thanks.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Aloha.
To discover the fine art of tacos, you have to taste the fine art of tacos. At Boca Tacos and Tequila, Chef Maria Maison paints with a palette of flavors. Every color represents a different flavor, a different heat. This is real Mexican food. This is the food that Chef Maria Maison grew up eating and the food she dreams of sharing with you. Boca Tacos and Tequila serves gourmet Mexican tacos and fresh original salsas located at 533 North 4th Avenue in Tucson's historic shopping district.
This is Bruce Thurston of FineWoodSpoons.com. Everything you cook with one of my spoons will taste better. Jennifer English is making Tucson taste better. Don't miss Around the Table on KVOI, The Voice.
Panka Restaurant is very proud to announce the arrival of Executive Chef David Solarzano, whose bright, vibrant cuisine is true to both his roots in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, and his world-class culinary training at Le Cordon Bleu. His exciting new original menus feature succulent Arctic char, grilled octopus, and a beautiful salad verde. Happy hour daily from 3 to 5 p.m. Join us for power lunch at Panka every day. Panka is located at number 50 Broadway in downtown Tucson. A Spanish proverb, con pan y vino, se anda el camino, means with good food and wine, life is never too hard. Discover the world's most delicious and exciting wines for yourself by the glass at Revel, a European-styled bar conveniently located downtown on 9th Street. Cultivate conviviality every Wednesday at our complimentary wine tasting events from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Revel, a space for those who wish to celebrate life and toast with friends, old and new. Cheers.
Hey, this is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, and you're listening to Around the Table.
One of the most irresistible places in town is Gus Ballon's, where you will be delighted and happy to be called a regular. Nothing's better than walking in and having them call your name and say, welcome back. What'll you have? Or better yet, they already know, but their pies and fried chicken are absolutely positively irresistible. And Jane and Michael Stern of the famous Road Food books declare that theirs is one of the best breakfasts in America, and their cinnamon bun, well, try and find better. They're located at 6027 East 22nd in Tucson, Arizona. Of gastronomy. This is Around the Table, welcoming you to the Bear Canyon Farmers Market and Craft Fair in the incredible location of Tucson, Arizona, on Catalina Highway in Bear Canyon. We're outside of Lindy's, delicious Lindy's. Hi, Lindy's. They're taking good care of us today across the street from the Buzz
the Buzz Cafe, famous for its breakfast fare and especially their baked goods and scones. They've donated some yummy things to sell to the benefit of the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank, which is what brings us all out today. Stop by, bring some food for the animals. If you've got a little extra in your pantry and can spare some around the holidays, they have incredible need. We're here with Buck Garrett from the Green Goo Company. Dave and the Sarge's Cheesecakes are here. We've got the Old Pueblo Spice Company with their world-famous Hot Pepper Number 5. There are so many fantastic vendors out here. And, of course, the key to Hot Pepper Number 5 is the chiltepín. The chiltepín is actually having a moment globally in the conversation in the food world. The chiltepín is being discovered, the little tiny round berry-shaped chili from the Sonoran Desert region of this world, which extends across and through the border, because 4,000 years ago, this city of gastronomy, which is cultivating food, didn't recognize this and that. It recognized this and that. It was all one, as it still is. And the Sonoran region is rich with really layered, beautiful, bright flavors, some as bright as the sun. The chiltepín is one of those regional, traditional, essential flavors that we have fallen in love with. The Rolls Royce of chiltepins come from a company called Chiltepica. The founder of that company joins us now, my good friend Gloria Badia, who, if you don't know already, produces the Chiltepica salsas that you can find at our local Costco stores. It is the most delicious salsa that you can make that isn't homemade, at least by your own family. If you can't get this good at home, run to the Costco, and I tell you, you won't be disappointed. This is delicious, and she joins us now. Gloria, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me on.
So congratulations. It's awesome. You should come out here. It's such a beautiful day for a farmer's market and craft fair. We're at Bear Canyon. I want to talk about chiltepins and introduce people to why they are having a global food moment. If Savour magazine were still publishing, I suspect it would be one of those Savour 100 for this year. A lot of people
yes,
discovered
probably.
The cuisine of Sonora. How did this happen, and when did this happen, and what do you have to tell us about what is a chiltepín?
The chiltepín pepper, it's native to the region, of course, to the Sonoran Desert, and when we started making salsa, of course, being our chiltepín, the star of our salsa, we said, why don't we package the actual chiltepín and work with that? You know, not only making salsa, you can use it for a dry rub. You can use it for, you know, to spice up your soup, your everyday meal. And that's how we started with our spice line. We have a sea salt infused with chiltepín. We have the chiltepín whole.
Which I'll tell you, warn you now, is so addictive. It is so
yes,
addictive.
It is. The flavor, it's a lot of flavor, but you don't lose track of what you're having. So you still enjoy your food, your meal, what you're having, your special recipe with a kick, you know, on the side, and it just enhances the flavor. Never lose track of that, of what you're having. But the best way I can describe it, it's that enhance the flavor to that.
A lot of people have described the chiltepín to me as having heat without a hyper distinctive flavor note, meaning that the chiltepín, unlike jalapenos and habaneros and serranos and poblanos, which all have a very fruity vegetal quality about them, that there's something unique about the chiltepín that delivers more heat than the flavor, so that the flavor of what you put the chiltepín on shines through.
Yes, and also the chiltepín has a very distinctive flavor. There's a smokiness. As you sun-dry the chiltepín pepper, there's a smokiness that comes through, and that is natural. It's not like, you know, like now we smoke this
it's not
or we
Chipotle.
Smoke that with this. Yes. No, this is a very smoky flavor, and like I said, it is natural as you sun-dry that. So it's a very special pepper, very close to my heart. Like I said, I just can't talk so much about it that, you know, and we've been fortunate enough to have it in our local stores here in Tucson.
The Costco's.
Food court.
As well as small markets around the region.
Yes, that is true. Food Co-op carries our spice line, Native Seeds, La Estrella Bakery, Rincon Market. There, you can find our spices there, too. The salsa you can find in the three local Costco's and also La Estrella Bakery at Mercado San Agustin. So, like I said, we're a small local business with this exposure for our stuff. That we've been fortunate enough to have all these stores carry our products on their shelf.
And one of the other things that you have throughout the year on a seasonal limited basis is one of the most delicious chorizo that I've ever tasted.
Oh, thank you. It's a wonderful chorizo bean that it's my husband's recipe, actually. He grew up in a meat market making chorizo for his dad. So it's a very special recipe that takes you back home and we were able to present that, and that's just a seasonal item. So we have it probably a couple of times a year, like a good 3 months, and that is carried by about 10 Costco's in Arizona, like I said, in a rotation basis, on a seasonally basis.
Well, I have to tell you, Thanksgiving's coming up, and Christmas is right around the corner. They're all clustered in really tight since Thanksgiving is so late this year. Let's talk about the gift of spices. I know that the gift of spices has been making many editors' holiday gift guides for 2019. Will you talk about where you think people that are giving the gift of Chiltepica spices can encourage people to try them? Because it's one thing to get chiltepines, but if you're not from Sonora or from Tucson and don't know how to use them, how do you explain to people how wonderful and easy and delicious they are to use?
Well, to me, in our families, in our culture, basically, you grow up having those in the middle of the table. So it's a staple in our homes. So the way I can explain it is that you can spice up your soup, your scrambled eggs, anything that you put on your table, you can use, make sure you don't use salt prior to that if you're using the sea salt infused with chiltepine. Or if you like, you know, just crumble a chiltepín and, you know, and just spread it over your scrambled egg.
That can would I be tell the you, your sea salt blend on eggs is truly irresistible.
Just do it over an avocado. It's wonderful. And in the summer,
yeah, no, it
do
is.
It over
I've done
watermelon.
That.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't tried that.
As a matter of fact, Tucson Foodie is doing Chiltepica spice lined as a... and ideas for gifts for this holiday season. So they're having us out there. We took some little gifts over there so they can present it and give it away as they desire with our spices.
Now, tell us one more time what your presence is online. Can people order the product online?
Just the spice line, because our salsa is fresh and it has to be refrigerated. And right now we don't have the capacity to ship refrigerated items. But our spice lines and our molinitos are online. They can always go to our website, chiltepica.com. Or like I said, they can always get them. La Estrella Bakery, Food Co-op, Native Seeds, Tucson Botanical Gardens always has our products on their shelf also. And like I said, our salsa, you can buy it at the three local Costco's too.
We are so grateful that Chiltepica is in support of this show as a sponsor, but more importantly, as my friend. I am so incredibly proud of all the things that you've accomplished, and it's really wonderful to watch the world discover the Chiltepine as you've brought it to our consciousness. The Rolls Royce of Chiltepines is Chiltepica. And it would make
thank
a
you.
Wonderful holiday gift. Gloria Badia, thank you so much for making time to be with us.
Thank you guys for having us. Enjoy the weather out there. It's beautiful.
It's a spectacular day. We're going to take another very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to take you to do some lateral cooking with Nikki Signet. This is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, broadcasting live from the Bear Canyon Farmers Market and Craft Show. Please come down and join us. I've made you some cinnamon water, We've got the Old Pueblo Spice Company. The Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank is the beneficiary. There are gorgeous baked goods from La Buzz. Buck Garrett is here with his green goo. Maybe John can find the Buck Garrett music and play us back in with the next break's music so that Buck can hear it. We're here live. Come and say hi. We're on Catalina Highway in Bear Canyon, all to benefit the animals. We'll be right back. One of the most irresistible places in town is Gus Ballon's, where you will be delighted and happy to be called a regular. Nothing's better than walking in and having them call your name and say, welcome back. What'll you have? Or better yet, they already know, but their pies and fried chicken are absolutely positively irresistible. And Jane and Michael Stern of the famous Road Food books declare that theirs is one of the best breakfasts in America, and their cinnamon bun, well, try and find better. They're located at 6027 East 22nd in Tucson, Arizona. A Spanish proverb, con pan y vino, se anda el camino, means with good food and wine, life is never too hard. Discover the world's most delicious and exciting wines for yourself by the glass at Revel, a European-styled bar conveniently located downtown on 9th Street. Cultivate conviviality every Wednesday at our complimentary wine tasting events from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Revel, a space for those who wish to celebrate life and toast with friends, old and new. Cheers.
This is Bruce Thurston of FineWoodSpoons.com. Everything you cook with one of my spoons will taste better. Jennifer English is making Tucson taste better. Don't miss Around the Table on KVOI, The Voice.
Panka Restaurant is very proud to announce the arrival of Executive Chef David Solarzano, whose bright, vibrant cuisine is true to both his roots in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, and his world-class culinary training at Le Cordon Bleu. His exciting new original menus feature succulent Arctic char, grilled octopus, and a beautiful salad verde. Happy hour daily from 3 to 5 p.m. Join us for power lunch at Panka every day. Panka is located at number 50 Broadway in downtown Tucson. To discover the fine art of tacos, you have to taste the fine art of tacos. At Boca Tacos and Tequila, Chef Maria Maison paints with a palette of flavors. Every color represents a different flavor, a different heat. This is real Mexican food. This is the food that Chef Maria Maison grew up eating and the food she dreams of sharing with you. Boca Tacos and Tequila serves gourmet Mexican tacos and fresh original salsas located at 533 North 4th Avenue in Tucson's historic shopping district.
Ho'oponopono. Love, peace, all gifts from God. Aloha, nui nui, humehana.
This is Michelle with Brightway Wellness, bringing you Ho'oponopono from Hawaii. Love, peace, forgiveness, and thanks.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Aloha.
Ken.
Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
Ken, what makes your barbecue so delicious?
Well, I don't want to have to kill you, but no. No, well, you know, we keep those secrets pretty close to the vest, but we just put whore love into our barbecue sauce, our brisket, our rubs.
Ken, those green beans that you have are so yummy. Whose recipe is that?
We call them Grandma Wilma's green beans, but really those are my mom's recipe, and she pours mom's love into those green beans.
haunting, enchanting sounds of Buck Garrett. Buck Garrett is my friend. He's a musician. He's a talented, talented person. He's an extremely generous man. And like me, he's a cancer survivor. He's here today at the Bear Canyon Farmers Market and Craft Show, where he has brought his green goo. It's a hemp-based CBD ointment that is organically produced by him, and it is life-changing for people who live with chronic pain. He's just one of about 30 vendors who are here today at the Bear Canyon Farmers Market to benefit the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank. My good friend Dave Leotard from Sarge's Cheesecake is here. He's setting up right now, and if you haven't had a Sarge's Cheesecake fix since the Tucson Pops season ended, well, now's your chance. I know I've missed those goodies. We're here with the Old Pueblo Spice Company, the Sal del Sol, Hot Pepper No. 5. We've got gorgeous Chiltepica, Chiltepines for you. We've got candles and crafts, Christmas present ideas, holiday gift ideas, and we're going to talk Thanksgiving. How can we help you cook bigger than usual and perhaps even more deliciously than ever before? You know, the thing about cooking for your family and for any kind of cooking that you do, the intention with which you start that process is really important. The energy of the kindness and generosity in your heart is transferred by you into your food. If I had said that 20 years ago, people might not have understood those words and agreed with me. But you can't really otherwise explain why your grandmother's cookies that she made for you tasted better than anybody else's cookies in the world, because she loved you more than anybody else did. And when she made cookies for you, they tasted better because they had something that nobody else could put in those cookies, and that's her love. So everybody out here at the farmers market that is offering and selling things that they've made with love are things that you can't find anywhere else. And it's that kind of season, it seems to me, in doing the scanning I do of all the media from the food world of, you know, food, culture, and entertainment, and trending in all kinds of categories, that people are really hungry for really essential things that enhance our experiences and connect us back into the energy of everything that's delicious. So we're really proud to be here, broadcasting live from the City of Gastronomy. And why do they call Tucson the City of Gastronomy? It's not because we have more restaurants than any other place. No, we're the City of Gastronomy because for 4,000 years, people have been cultivating food here. And when you cultivate food, that means you share food. And when you're sharing food and cultivating food, food is your medicine. It is your conviviality. It is your culture. And so UNESCO, the United Nations, recognized that we here in Tucson, Arizona, have been doing that continuously for 4,000 years, and nothing else tastes like this region. Some people have started to call us the Sonoran region. It's sort of bigger than Tucson, but Tucson is most assuredly at the heart and soul and core of this experience. And so when we talk about Thanksgiving, what does a Tucson Thanksgiving taste like to you? In addition to all of the very traditional things that every family seems to have, such as turkey, roast turkey, and dressing, and mashed potatoes, and sweet potatoes, and some form of a vegetable, probably a green bean, but it could be anything from green beans to whatever it is, a lot of Brussels sprouts show up. You know, one of the things I've learned from this region is that a Tucson Thanksgiving really borrows from the tradition of Mexico and the Mexican culture, and that a Tucson Thanksgiving table is actually an edible ofrenda, where we honor those who are no longer here. We honor those who have passed. And what we do is, and we do this all over the country, but it's a tradition from here that we are borrowing the reference point for, which is every Thanksgiving table becomes an edible ofrenda, where if somebody, say Uncle Bill is gone or Granny is no longer here, if their favorite dish was that green bean casserole with French onion and mushroom soup, And you still make it because you can't have Thanksgiving without it. Well, it's like an homage. It's their homage. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be broadcasting live from here. So let's talk a little bit about the world of holiday gift giving for foodies. Every year, books are published, some of which make it to the incredible heights of being nominated for the most prestigious awards in the world of food and publishing. I happen to think that Lateral Cooking by Nikki Segnet is going to be one of those books that come awards time, we're going to be seeing this title. And if you haven't found it yet, of course, it's available all over at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, but it's really a groundbreaking, it's not only a book with recipes, but it's a method that is going to change the way you think about flavors. It's really an honor to have the author of what is assuredly one of the best books of 2019, one of the best food books of 2019. Nikki Segnet is here from Lateral Cooking. Welcome. Welcome to the City of Gastronomy. Welcome to Tucson, Arizona. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you very much. I love Tucson, Arizona. It's a place that I'd like to spend more time. It's so beautiful. And thank you for that incredible introduction. I'm very touched. Thank you.
One of the things that is very difficult to do is to have original ideas in the evolution of cuisine. And you have done that with Lateral Cooking. You call it a flavor thesaurus. You have starting point recipes. But I'm going to let you explain, what does the phrase lateral cooking mean?
So lateral cooking came from really from the way that the book is organized. So I was very, very deeply into researching a slightly more simple book originally. And then because I do a lot of very boring desk research, the kind of things that most people just could not stand to do, going through thousands and thousands and thousands of recipes, it slowly dawned on me. I'd love to say I had an epiphany. I did not. But it slowly dawned on me that there was this beautiful world of, if you like, a genealogy of dishes, family trees of recipes, and that if you understood them and their relationship to each other, it would suddenly make cooking easier. It would be a lovely thing to read about because I know that it's not just me that enjoys kind of connections and reading about food. And so I started to put them together in a way that made sense. That if you were to write a big food manual these days with the overriding goal that maybe people would start to learn how to cook without recipes, that things would become much simpler if you understood that things were just one sort of lateral move from each other, that you'd see that all these things that you've made 100 times before were related to other things that you hadn't made, but it didn't take you much confidence to make that little sidestep leap. And that sort of was what lateral cooking, that's where the name came from, just the idea that a tweak, a little jump here would connect you with a world of 1,000 recipes.
So in a way, you are an activist because we have really relied on the traditional recipe for so long that it's the architecture of our culinary understanding of the world. And yet you think that there's something even more essential at play when we take to the kitchen to cook for our families and our friends. There's something really essential about the understanding piece of it. Can you talk about, I think you're being very gracious and humble saying you didn't have an epiphany.
I'm British.
Yes. Terribly, but what I think is really important to do is to acknowledge that this is really quite a revolutionary idea because it's taking us and peeling us back one more layer to something even more essential than accepting that recipes will teach us how to cook. You're taking us from it being an external process to being an internal process of understanding. You're actually turning on that light of understanding for us.
That's right. So I learned to cook even though my mother is a brilliant cook, I wasn't interested in learning when I lived at home. So I learned to cook using recipe books. And what I learned to do was I learned how to follow a recipe. And I got very, very keen on cooking and all things food, and continued to just cook very broadly and, you know, could make all sorts of interesting and elaborate things. But I still couldn't really say that I could cook. And so what I suppose I became really passionate about, I love the activist idea, is that we could become kind of go back to grandmother's age and actually by making things simpler to start with, start to become people who could make things without recipes. Just actually get in the kitchen and feel the ingredients and take notice of what you're doing and feel free to make a little change based on, you know, what looked good in the market or food that needed using up. This is a very, very good, sensible way to cook. And just that
Nikki,
idea.
But that's such a provocative statement, and it's such a provocative idea that even though you're cooking using a recipe, that you didn't identify that as really being cooking because it wasn't sort of flowing more naturally from you, from your understanding of it. Will you take us to that point? Because I think that's the real pivot point that you've illuminated for us.
That it's just the pleasure of just knowing what you're doing. So, I mean, there's a practical side to it too. There's a wonderful thing where you can just say, well, I want to make something. I take a bowl down, I start making it. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to stop to consult, to weigh, to do all that kind of thing. But it's being able to move around the world knowing that the knowledge is inside you. Being able to turn up at a friend's house and say, is there anything I can do? And I mean it, because you can help out from the very core of you.
Will you talk about the 77 starting point recipes and how they represent and what they represent?
As a rule, they represent cooking. So it's not really about dishes that are compositions. They tend to be things where you amalgamate some ingredients and apply heat. And I've divided the 77 into 12 chapters, all of which all the starting points are plotted in what I call continuums. So you get an essay at the beginning of each of the continuums telling you a little bit about how they relate to each other and some stories about those. I love to read stories about food, so there's quite a lot of stories and anecdote in there. And so we cover bread and butter and roux, stock soups and stews. There is a beautiful chapter on nuts that always fills my heart with joy. There's cakes and cookies, and of course there's chocolate, and there has to be sugar because, you know, there's not much cooking without sugar, and custard and sauce and pastry. And then a rather unusual and interesting one, which is cornbread, polenta and gnocchi. So they're all divided into groups. They're all things that you would probably mainly know about. And then a small selection of things that maybe you don't.
For many years, I've talked about food, cooking, and music, and drawn parallels makes it very easy to illustrate points and establish conversational relative understanding from culture to culture, from dish to dish, from experience to experience. And one of the things that I think has really escaped my awareness until now is that one resource where someone talks about food and cooking, and you could very easily see that they could very easily be talking about music. Lateral Cooking, to me, looks like the kind of book that really illustrates this point brilliantly. You can't riff in jazz. You can't improvise until you've mastered the essential basics. And what kind of musician are you if you can only play from reading music and not have it flow through you? What you've done with Lateral Cooking is identify that until you can cook with the food flowing through you from understanding, you're not really playing the music of food.
Yeah, I think I do think that's a really fantastic analogy, because because people accept it about music. They accept that you have to learn to play first before you become really good and able to improvise. I think with cooking, because we get so used to, we had so many recipe books, so much sheet music, that I think, you know, most people, I would be one of them, don't think that they can be an improviser. They don't think that you can, you know, the amount of people that have said to me when I talk about the book, how can you learn to be intuitive? And it's like, well, exactly that's the way you learn to be intuitive. Is that, you know, you don't have to learn every single starting point in this book, but you could start with, you know, with three or four things that you make quite often, which will start making you feel like a very different cook. You know, when you can do that thing without reference, when you can just get on with it, when you can change
it,
or when you can make a mistake and then get yourself out of it.
You know what's so interesting is when you do that, you've gone to self-confidence. And the first step towards self-confidence is self-awareness. And one of the interesting things about your approach, you call it a method, I'll call it a celebration, is that you cannot learn who you are as a cook until you start this process. If you are only reliant on books and recipes, you will never fully realize, you will never live up to your potential in your self-awareness and self-confidence as a cook. To me, this is the key, if you will, to unlocking your self-awareness and potential as a cook.
And it gets you out of that terrible frame of mind that so many people have these days, which is the fear of things going wrong. Is you know, if you do happily kind of take the plunge and start to learn a little bit about yourself as a cook, not about as a recipe follower, but as a cook, and you take a few risks and you start, you know, maybe make a little bit of pasta for you, you know, and roll it out and find out, oh my God, I've got real talent for rolling. I had no idea I had a talent for rolling. And so then you can make puff pastry and you can make croissants and you can make, you know, start having a go maybe making strudel and all that kind of thing. And it unlocks the joy of a talent that you didn't know you had, which of course is, you know, a gateway to all sorts of confidence, not just kitchen confidence.
One of the things that strikes me, we have American Thanksgiving in a little more than a week, or a little less than a week, I apologize. And it's a traditional meal that calls on us to do a very different kind of cooking than we normally do. And it requires us to be true to certain flavors and recipe compositions. It requires us to adhere to certain emotional and psychological and spiritual menus. And what's really interesting is it requires us to cook big if we don't normally cook big. And I'm imagining for most people, based on the comments that we get and the questions we get from people calling in and emailing, that's the source of the fear that gets in the way. How can your lateral cooking be applied to the Thanksgiving meal preparation to alleviate some of that fear of cooking big? That's the really one big difference between our everyday cooking and our Thanksgiving cooking.
It is, but I suppose the lateral cooking, you know, the ethos is if you practice a bit more, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same methods, the same things, but if you a little bit more practiced, you start to feel a little bit more confident just generally. So even if, you know, the idea of, you know, roasting a turkey, I think everyone feels a bit of anxiety about it. You see people who are very, very experienced. It's a difficult bird to manage. But when it comes to all the other things, the side dishes and that sort of thing, then there's no reason why the kind of cooking that we do in the, you know, in our basic run-of-mill is quite similar to that. So the thing that you're dealing there with, unfortunately, is not so much the cooking, but the timing, right?
Right, right. Well, you know, but the other thing, in all fairness, the Thanksgiving meal, I don't know what other meal we cook all year long that we have any expectation and pressure that we put on ourselves for any one thing in any one meal, that the bird's got to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a birthday cake,
right.
But what other food item do we have in our food lives during the course of a 365-day year has to be as perfect as the Thanksgiving turkey?
No, and it's the same at home so far. In Britain, the Christmas lunch is exactly the same. And you know, in my experience, for a lot of people, it doesn't go right. And the thing is that nobody minds. That's my feeling, is that the whole reason that we're all sitting around the table together and that we're joined together by this meal is no one's necessarily there to judge you as a cook. Obviously, if you invite people around to your house for dinner as, you know, giving some idea that you might be doing something splashy, then you've got to live up to it. But I don't know many families that really are terribly tricky on it. I mean, one of the things that I might do if I did feel a bit nervous about cooking a big show like that is pick two things that I actually like making from that meal and ace them and make a little bit of a kind of fuss about how good they are.
And then like a signature.
Yeah.
Like Nikki's pumpkin pie or Nikki's sweet potatoes. Or
It won't be that, Jennifer. It will not be the pumpkin pie, but it could be the sweet potatoes. It could be finding something to do with those green beans to make them a little bit, you know, a bit zhuzhier. But what I would do is I would then kind of slightly PR it to the, you know, even though I am British, I might just PR it to the rest of the family and say, you will not believe this. You will not believe.
So you'll give it the Patsy and Eddie treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
I PR things, darling.
Exactly.
That's
Tell
fantastic.
Them it's, you know, mom's famous, whatever. Try and make it pretty good, and then, you know, and then try and get it to the table hot.
Of all the recipes in your book, of all the advice in your book, what is the one thing that you can share with us that might appear online somewhere that could be our first step in the journey of self-awareness and self-discovery on the path to lateral cooking?
Well, in the introduction, I think it's probably one of the books that you might come across in the food section that actually talks to you about the possibility of failure and how you might deal with it and accept it and move on from it. My thing with this book is that I think the best thing that you do is you go to the book, you pick something that you make quite often that you can't make without a recipe, and then you learn how to do it. And then once you've got that down, you move on to the next thing, you make a lateral step, and you either try something that's a bit out of your comfort zone, or you make something up, you create something of your own, the thing that's going to go on the Thanksgiving table next year as Jennifer's own whatever or Nikki's special X, and then that's it. You're on your path to lateral cooking if you never have.
I want to compliment you and thank you, because there are so few new ideas in food, and yet this delicious work is just the kind of thing that keeps us engaged and passionate in the category of food and cooking, because just when you think there are no more new ideas, someone comes up with some wonderful new ideas. In this instance, it's Nikki Segnet's work called Lateral Cooking. It's available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's. And, of course, we are thrilled to have had the chance to chat with you about this. And thank you for this extraordinary work. Is there a tradition of sharing words before a meal on your Christmas Day, which is the equivalent of our Thanksgiving Day?
No, not in the same way. I mean, not. If you were particularly religious, you might say grace, but I think that's probably quite a small part of the population now.
And since we're in the world of
words,
and you're a wonderful writer, and you're. Predecessor book, The Flavor Thesaurus, makes me think, with your love of words, do you have a toast that you share with your guests that you can share with us?
On Christmas Day?
Anytime.
Oh, well, I can tell you my Christmas Day, Jennifer, one, but it doesn't reflect very well on me. My Christmas Day toast is always to my husband, who cooks the Christmas lunch and always gets it absolutely perfect. So there you go. There's my advice. Take that one day of the year off and pass it on to somebody else.
And marry someone who can do it brilliantly.
Yeah, definitely.
Lateral Cooking is a book that I am certain will be making its way onto the lists of all the awarded, honored, and lauded, acclaimed, and decorated best food books of 2019. Please look for it in your Amazon.com cart or at Barnes & Noble's. It will be a wonderful holiday gift for anybody in your world that loves to cook or eat, which is, yeah, basically everybody. I hope that you get a chance to see this for yourself and taste it for yourself. Nikki, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real honor.
Thank you for your time. It was a pleasure.
I'm Jennifer English, and this is wrapping up the Live from the City of Gastronomy, Live from the Bear Canyon Farmers Market edition of Around the Table. We'll be around next week. We're going to the Economy Restaurant Supply.